Today I have some bad news and I have some good news. Now normally we say it different than that. Normally we say I have some good news and some bad news, but I have some bad news and I have some good news. But don't be alarmed. I have a little bit of bad news and a whole lot of good news. First, let's get rid of the bad news. Every morning when I get up, though I don't read a newspaper, I look at the internet headlines. The news is always bad. During the day, if I have access to a newspaper or once again look at the headlines on the internet, the news is always bad. When I get ready to go to bed at night, I like to watch the evening news. The news is always bad. Seems like lately, even when the phone rings, it's probably one of those robocallers, but the news is always bad. Brethren, no wonder we live in such a gloomy, sad, despondent world. The news is always bad. No wonder so many people have a bad attitude. No wonder there's so much road rage. No wonder there's so much anger in the social media because the news is always bad. And there are so many people that want to rob us of our happiness as well. Now, that's all the bad news. From here on out, it's all good. The Bible is filled with good news. Now, before Jesus' resurrection, Paul reminds us that we were dead in our trespasses and sin, but not anymore. Because Jesus succumbed to the death on the cross, he was buried, he rose again the third day, he taught and then ascended back into heaven. Because of that, he secured our salvation. You talk about good news, that's good news. Listen to some more of what the Bible says, Ephesians 2:4. But because of God's great love for us, he who was rich in mercy made us alive with Christ Jesus, even when we were dead in sin and trespasses. Romans 5:8, this is the verse I've asked you to memorize. But God commends, or God demonstrates his love to us in that even while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Colossians 2:13, when we were dead in our sins, God made us alive with Christ. He forgave us our sins. 2 Corinthians 5:21, God made him, that is Jesus, who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might be the righteousness of God. Brethren, that's good news. And not only is that good news, that's the kind of news that no one can take away from us. You know, many times we start out with a good attitude, with the music is good on the radio, and we get a call from the kids or grandkids. As soon as we get to work, somebody robs us of our happiness. Not this way. Jesus rose again. And because Satan could not hold him in the ground, he secured our salvation. He gave to us that which we could not get on our own. He gave us the opportunity to have our sins washed away. In that we eliminated the bondage of sin, and now we can spend all eternity with him in heaven. And that's good news. When I was a teenager, I would go to a lot of functions, and invariably the preacher would tell this tragic, sad, frightening story right at the end of his lesson. And I know it was designed to frighten people down the aisle. I don't believe that's the way we need to get people down the aisle, but that's what they would do. I'm going to tell you a story today. It's got a happy ending, okay? It's got a happy ending. Once upon a time, there was a little girl. Let's name her Mary. She developed a very tragic, life-threatening disease Now her brother, let's call him Johnny, had that same disease a few years before, but he was able to conquer it with the medication and treatment. He was able to beat the disease, and now he was happy and healthy. Well, the doctors determined that little Mary was going to need a blood transfusion. And the best person from which to take the blood would be her brother, because he had those antibodies and the other things in his blood. So they sat down with little Johnny, his parents, and the doctor. And the doctor said, "Johnny, your sister needs a blood transfusion, and the best blood to use is yours." He said, "Of course, that's fine." So the next day they rolled them into the treatment room, and they were both very, very nervous. At one time he glanced over at his little sister and she was grinning at him. And then when the nurse put that needle in his arm, that wasn't so nice. And when he saw that blood coming out of his arm into the tube, that wasn't nice. And when they were just about through, little Johnny turned to the doctor and said, "Doctor, how soon before I die?" He misunderstood. The doctor realized we should have told him we didn't need all of his blood. We just needed a unit or so of his blood. So he said, "You're not going to die." And of course they lived happily ever after. Johnny didn't have to die to save his sister's life. But Jesus had to die to save us. I don't know why. I don't know why God designed our salvation around Jesus' death, but he did. And though we are saddened to think Jesus had to die on the cross, we're glad because Jesus did die on the cross. And that's good news. That's the good news that cannot be taken away. That's the good news that gives us assurance of our salvation. Once upon a time, there was a preacher, and he asked this question in his adult Bible class. I should have said teacher. He asked this question in his adult Bible class. He said, "Can one know that they are saved? Can we know that we're saved?" And he got all sorts of answers. Most of them were, "Well, no, we won't know until judgment," or "No, we will never know." And some of them just evaded the question and said, "I hope so." Let me ask you that question. Can we know that we're saved? The Bible says yes. The Bible says yes. Now, I think it's because of our humility we try to evade the answer, saying, "Well, we won't really know." And the Bible does, "If the righteous scarcely be saved, where do the unrighteous and ungodly appear?" I know the answer, but the Bible says, yes, we can. John 5, verse 24, this is Jesus speaking. "Most assuredly, I say unto you," I'll guarantee you, Jesus says, "he who hears my word and believes on him who sent me," that's God, "has everlasting life." The same penman, John, later would write in 1 John 5, verse 13, "These things I have written unto you, written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God," the authority of Jesus, "that you might know that you have eternal life." Brethren, we can know that we have eternal life. It's all based on the relationship we have with the Father. If we're doing everything the Father expects us to do, and see, that's where people get confused. They say, "Well, all I have to do is believe, isn't it? All I have to do is say there is a Jesus and God will save my soul." That's not what Jesus teaches. Believing in Jesus' power, in his authority, in his ability to save us, means that we're going to do what Jesus tells us to do. "If you love me," Jesus says, "keep my commandments, do what I need to do." But if we develop that relationship with the Father and with Jesus, we can know we will be saved. If we hear the gospel message, if we hear the word of God concerning our salvation, and if we believe it, that means put it into practice. If we repent of our sins and acknowledge that Jesus is our only hope to be saved, if we are baptized as Jesus says in Mark 16. If we are baptized, as Jesus says in Matthew 28. If we are baptized, as Jesus says in Luke 24. If we are baptized, as Peter preaches on the day of Pentecost, repent and be baptized, every one of you. And if we continue walking in the light where he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another in the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sins. If we do that, we can know that we have eternal life. We don't have to hope, and I'm not discrediting the concept of hope, but we can know because we believe the promises of God. He is able to do what he says he's going to do. If we are faithful for the rest of our lives, we will be saved. No ifs, ands, and buts. Now, if we're not faithful, we need to correct that. But if we are, we can have that assurance. Another point of good news. Jesus is coming back. When I say that, you know the passage of Scripture I'm going to. My favorite, John 14. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Not maybe, not probably, not I hope so, but I will come again. Brethren, that's good news. That's good news. We have so many of our fellow human beings in the world that are looking for salvation in the wrong places. They need to come to Jesus. He is preparing or has prepared a place for us. He is coming again. He is coming again. There's a phrase that we've heard for several years, too many years. It's called runaway father. Runaway fathers are men that sire children and then they refuse to take any responsibility for them. They run away. Brethren, Jesus didn't run away. He went away for a while to prepare for us an eternity. He did not run away. And he is coming back just as he said. He's coming back. Don't worry about it. Jesus is coming back. Paul writes, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the shout and with the voice of an archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. And that's good news. Now, wouldn't it be nice if we went to bed every night with good news instead of bad news? I can tell you how to do it. Read the Bible every night before you go to sleep. It's filled with good news. It tells us that God has loved humanity from the creation. He loved Adam and Eve, even though they sinned. He loves us. Not that we're accountable for their sins, but because of their sins, death entered into the world. Brethren, we're going to die. I didn't mean to say that bad news for the end. We are going to die. But that just gives us an opportunity to be with God in heaven for all eternity. He sent Jesus to secure salvation for us. He sent Jesus to do something for us that we could not do for ourselves. And if anything fills us with joy, that should, that does. Jesus is our Lord and Savior. Now, perhaps you're in our audience today and you're not really familiar with what Jesus says concerning salvation. Kind of like Nicodemus, you remember in John chapter 3? He came to Jesus by night because no doubt he had heard Jesus talk about salvation, but he didn't know what Jesus was talking about. So he came to Jesus asking him about salvation. Jesus used a phrase, you must be born again. later he qualified that by saying, born of the water and of the Spirit. In other words, the Spirit, the teaching of God, the water is baptism, the waters of baptism. Nicodemus must have thought that Jesus was talking about physical birth, because he said, and this is the way I say it, I'm a grown man, how can I enter my mommy's tummy again? Jesus was not talking about physical anything. He was talking about spiritual. He used physical stories to make spiritual application. He said, I'm not talking about being born again physically. I'm talking about being born again spiritually. That's what we need to do. Now, we can read ample verses from the lips of Jesus, from the pen of the inspired apostles, saying that we need to hear the Bible. Jesus says, blessed is he that hears these sayings of mine and doeth them. Even our children know, because a wise man built his house on the rock. Jesus said, except you repent, make those needed changes, you'll perish. Just like those martyrs perished, we will also perish unless we make those needed changes. And then we need to confess him before men. There's really two ways in the Bible I see confession. Jesus in Matthew 10 is talking about our lifestyle. Confessing him before men, our Father will confess us before, then Jesus will confess us before the Father. Paul, I think, states it a little bit easier for us to apply. From the heart, we believe unto righteousness. That's where righteousness comes. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. We read of some confessions made concerning Jesus. And then we need to be baptized. I don't understand. I admit that. I don't understand why baptism is so confused in the religious community. Jesus says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. I'm not sure how we get confused about baptism. Peter says, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. I'm not sure where we get so confused about baptism. On the day of Pentecost, Peter was asked, what must we do to be saved? What do we have to do? He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of sins. I don't know how we got so confused about baptism. Study it for yourself, and you will not be confused about baptism. So if this morning you've heard, you're ready to turn away from sin, you're ready to acknowledge Jesus as Lord and Savior, you're ready to be baptized for the remission of sins, then the invitation is for you. And also, the invitation is also open for anyone who needs to respond, either to place membership, to ask for prayers of strength, to ask for prayers of forgiveness. We're going to get... We're going to get Barry to stand up here. I know of one that's going to respond. Maybe there will be more. There's only two verses in our invitation song. Don't delay. If you need to respond, please come as we stand and sing.